Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Could a church with a godly heritage, could a very effective church with many ministries, could a church with sound doctrine fall? That's our question, and it brings us to our subject, the fallen church.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Imagine finding a church that has a great history, is sound in doctrine, and active in the community. Would you be impressed? Today, we're continuing a lesson from the book of Revelation as we learn that it's all too possible to be outwardly impressive, but inwardly hollow. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to introduce today's lesson.
A few years ago, I had the privilege of visiting ancient Ephesus. It was a thrilling experience as our group learned of the history of Ephesus and reminded ourselves of Paul's visit to that city some 2,000 years ago. Today, we're continuing our study of the book of Revelation and looking at John's letter to the church at Ephesus. The scripture is found in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the first of seven letters to seven actual first century churches. We saw last time that the Christians at Ephesus had abandoned their first love. Do you understand how important our love for the Lord Jesus is? Let's continue to listen and learn from the divine diagnosis, but praise God for the divine remedy. If you have your Bible, open it to Revelation 2. Here is the word of God to us as we continue our series in Revelation. Read it with me. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, and have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What's the point? The point is this, that the Lord Jesus is examining the church at Ephesus. We have the diagnosis, the remedy, and then the promise. First of all, the divine diagnosis. The church at Ephesus, if you visited the church at Ephesus, you would have been very, very impressed because outwardly, this church appears to have got their act together. This church was active in service, working hard, persevering, discerning in doctrine. Outwardly, very impressive, but the church at Ephesus was inwardly hollow. Did you notice that? Verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. What do you think? Could that be said of us? Could that be said of you? Could that be said of me? I want to remind you that the first priority of the church and the first priority for you and me is love for Jesus Christ. Jesus is saying if action is not taken, Ephesus will cease to be a church. There's a dreadful possibility that Jesus will remove the lampstand from its place. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Oh, they could continue to have an impressive doctrinal statement, and that is very, very important, but Christ will no longer be there. Orthodox, hardworking, discerning, but cold and unloving for Christ. Turn to one of John's writings, 1 John. He writes his three letters. Turn to 1 John 4. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Don't say you love Jesus if, in fact, that love is not being shown to your brothers and sisters. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. Notice how John flips it over. Now, when we're talking about love, we're not talking about emotion. We're not talking about something superficial. That's not it. This is a deep, deep supernatural love. John has talked about it. It's a love, not just in words, but in action. Indeed, this is a love so that we're prepared to lay down our lives for the brothers. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. I've been a pastor now for a long time, sometimes sad to be a pastor. There are people, and I suppose we're all guilty of this sometimes, people who are quick to criticize, quick to condemn others, but slow to love, slow to encourage. Are you like that? You're quick to jump on someone when they don't serve the Lord the way that you want or the way you would do, but slow to love. Are you serving the Lord, but you're serving the Lord mechanically, self-righteously, grudgingly? Here John reminds us of the words of Jesus. If you love me, you'll keep my words. Here's another grid. Are you obeying the Lord in your life? Again, don't say you love Jesus and then do what you want. If you love someone, you seek to please them. That's true in a marriage. That's true in friendships. One of the marks of loving someone is that we act in the interests of that person, not just our own. Love is focused on the other. It's a giving love. This is the agape love. This is the love of God. So if I love Jesus, I seek to please him. I don't do that perfectly, but the goal of my life, the tenor of my life, is to please Christ, is to live for Christ. Paul says to me, to live is Christ. Not myself, not my ego, not my achievements, but Christ. It's a demonstration of my love for Jesus. What about people who don't know Christ? Are you passionate about the lost? We could test of where we are spiritually, about what we're passionate about. People get passionate about all kinds of things. You're passionate about seeing people come to Jesus. When did you last talk to someone about Jesus? You know, if you love someone, you talk about them, don't you? You spend time with them. We have as our mission statement, being and making authentic followers of Jesus. So I ask you, as I ask myself, are you an authentic follower of Jesus, or are you phony? Outwardly impressive, inwardly hollow. Authentic or phony? Have you abandoned the love you had at first? Now, that's the divine diagnosis. It's very convicting, isn't it? But praise God for the divine remedy. Action is required. As I read this week, I marveled at God's grace. Think of this. The Lord Jesus, in his infinite grace and patience, gives this church an opportunity to change. Isn't that wonderful? That God doesn't say, how could you do this? I sent Paul to you, I sent John to you, and think of your heritage, and now you're like this. I don't want anything more to do with you. I'm no longer going to be in your midst. No. In grace, he gives them the divine remedy. What are they to do? Three things. First, remember. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. You going to do that? Brother, sister, will you remember from where you've fallen? Do you remember how you used to love Christ? Think of that time when you loved Jesus much more than you do today. Do you remember that? Do you recall these times? As you worshiped the Lord, it wasn't just a form. It was from the heart. You had a passionate love for Christ. Do you remember that? You remember how you used to tell people about Jesus? Think how far you have fallen over the last months, perhaps over the last year. Oh, perhaps no one knows about it. But as the Spirit of God works in your heart today, you know it. Will you remember from where you have fallen? Do you remember when you were first converted? Your love for Jesus? Do you remember when you recommitted your life to Jesus Christ at that camp, at that event? Perhaps kneeling here after a service, the Spirit of God spoke to you, and the love of God through His Spirit overwhelmed you as you rededicated your life to Christ. Do you remember that? What's happened? What's gone wrong? Why is your love for Jesus so cold? Why are you spending so little time walking with the Lord? Why is it so difficult for you to forgive that brother or sister who's offended you? Why are you so ungenerous in your giving to the work of the Lord? What's happened in your life? Will you stop? Will you reflect? Will you look back? And think of how God, in His grace, has touched and changed your life over the years. Remember from where you have fallen. No, this is not to live in the past. This is not to live in the good old days. This is not to be overcome by sentimental nostalgia, but this is to remember your godly heritage. Just as this church had this wonderful heritage and now they had fallen from that, remember from where you've fallen. Brother, sister, remember from where we have fallen. First word is remember. The second one is repent. Mentioned twice in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. God is calling for His people to repent. Yes, these are believers. These are not unbelievers. I'm sure there were some unbelievers in the church, but this is written to the true church. A church which needs to have an attitude of repentance. Repentance is a change of mind leading to a change of heart and of action. If you're truly repentant, life will change. John the Baptist preached about the fruits of repentance. And if you truly repent, you'll turn from the past. This is not a temporary emotion. This is not just an emotional feeling where you respond purely at the emotional level to someone you've heard. No, this is a deep work of the Spirit. Life is now different. Brother, sister, today, now, will you repent of that sin which is stopping you from loving Christ as your first priority? Will you do that? What is it? What is it that has caused you to fall? What has caused that coldness of heart? What has caused that hardening of spirit? What has caused that coldness in your heart to Christ and to the things of Christ? What's happened? Bitterness? Anger? Bitterness against a parent, a child, a brother, a sister in Christ, a former spouse, some bitterness. Will you repent of abandoning the love that you had at first? Will you get right with God? I'm asking you. You know what you should do. Repent. Here's the third word, return. Not only repent, verse 5, but do the works you did at first. You say, well, I know I should love Jesus more, but I just don't. It's like husbands saying to me over the years, John, I know I should love my wife, but I just don't have that feeling. If I did, I would love her, but I just don't feel that I love her the way I used to. What's the answer? The answer is, when you did love your wife, what did you do? How did you serve her? Start doing these things. Love is action. Love is doing. Love is giving. How was it for you when you were first saved? When you loved the Lord? Do the things you did at first. How about the Word of God? I hear from some of you, when you come to Christ, you can't put this book down. And you're late at night reading the sacred pages. Now, you may not spend 5 minutes in the Word of God. What about prayer? There were times you got down on your knees in prayer. Ah, it's a long time, isn't it, since you did that? Oh, you can say a prayer if called on in the Bible study group at the LG. You can put up quite a nice prayer to impress people, but what about the reality? I'm not talking about public prayer. I'm talking about you alone with the Lord. When did you last get down on your knees before the Lord? Some of you have to go back to that place of failure. What was it? What was it that caused you to fall? What was it that's caused that coldness of heart? What is it that's caused that bitterness, that judgmental attitude that you have? What's happened? Love of money, pride, bitterness, gossip, immorality, drunkenness, unforgiveness. What is it? You know in your heart. The Spirit of God is bringing it to you right now. You know what you need to do. You need to repent of your sin. You need to repent of that selfishness. You need to return where you once were. Do the works you did at first. This is very, very serious, brothers, sisters. If we do not remember, if we do not repent, if we do not return, we will cease to be a church. The lampstand will be removed. Oh, we'll still have beautiful buildings. We can still have programs. We can still run church. But Christ will no longer be there. When many of you visit the United Kingdom, you come back, you all tell me this, how sad it is that there are so many church buildings and so few vital congregations. Buildings now used as bars, church buildings, as restaurants, as mosques, as Buddhist centers, recreational centers. What has happened? The Lord is no longer there. Ah, but there are other church buildings where people go through the form and the sign is outside saying Church of such and such, but it is no longer a true church. They have abandoned the first love. They have not repented, and Christ has removed the lampstand, and sad, the people don't even realize that the Lord isn't there. There is such a spiritual hardness. There's such a departure from the truths of the faith that the people so-called worshiping God don't even realize that Jesus is no longer there. Peter writes, 1 Peter 4:17, it's time for judgment to begin at the household of God. That's serious, isn't it? You think of judgment for the unbeliever. Here is judgment for the household of God. And the church at Ephesus today no longer exists. If you visit Ephesus, there is no church there. It is the fallen church. Now, as we conclude the divine promise, verse 7. This is wonderful, isn't it? Think of God's grace. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. First, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I plead with you today, hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Will you stop and listen? Hearing what the Spirit says to us in His Word. God is speaking to us in His Word. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Some in Ephesus did not hear, just as some of you today will not hear. Over and over again, Jesus said in His ministry, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The possibility is that we hear the words, but we don't listen, and we leave as we came in with still a hard heart, with still having abandoned our first love. And Jesus is saying, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is the Spirit saying to you through His Word? Oh, a great reward is promised. Those who conquer, those who are the overcomers, are true believers in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4-5 makes that very clear. And we who believe in Jesus Christ are promised access to the very tree of life that was lost when Adam sinned in the garden. But now eternal life is promised to the overcomer. This indeed is the paradise of God. Can you think of that, brother, sister? To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, that is the tree of eternal life, which is in the paradise of God. Remember what Jesus said to the thief? Yes, a thief. A wretched man as he was dying. As he said to Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus says to him today, you'll be with me where? In paradise. Do you know that we're heading for paradise? Where our love for Jesus will be undiminished. It will be eternal. And through the grace of God, we who are fallen, broken, selfish individuals, the offer of eternal life is offered to you and to me today as Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, and now extends the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Will you receive the gift? Brothers, sisters, I ask you, do you love Jesus?
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The Fallen Church. Our lesson today comes from John's current study on the first three chapters of Revelation. And as a special addition to this series, we'd like to send you his brand new listening guide specifically designed to complement each of these daily lessons. With details on key points, questions for review, and practical ideas for daily application, this printable workbook is a great resource for your own personal study or for hosting a group discussion with family or friends. So get your free copy of this resource today by visiting us online at theverdict.org and downloading or requesting the Revelation Listening Guide. And if these lessons and resources have helped you, would you consider helping us reach new listeners by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount? By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll ensure we can continue sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. To send your one-time donation of any amount today, just go to theverdict.org. And then if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on your podcast app. And then consider leaving us a comment and 5-star review to help others find the program. Like this listener who wrote, applying and understanding God's Word has always been a challenge for me, but John does a great job at helping to break down the true meaning of these holy texts as they were intended to be understood. Thanks so much for your helpful comments. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with today's closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? I trust your love for the Lord is strong and growing. And if that is true, that means you're regularly spending time with the Lord in His Word and in communion with Him. You're turning from your sin and you're thirsting after righteousness. You're growing in the Lord. But if you've abandoned your first love, follow the biblical advice. Remember, repent and return. May God enable you to do that. Don't forget to join me next time as we think of the letter to the church at Smyrna.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.